Hello and welcome to another, can we say bonus episode, another album episode, reviewsode, whatever. We're going to talk about another really great album and us, that is me, Pia, she, her, and...
Kiki, she, her, hello everybody. So nice to have you here again, Pia, and ready to discuss this amazing piece of music.
Yes, I love it. It might be my album of the year. I don't know if there is anything else by one of my favorite bands to come. Some of them are in the studio, but who knows when they will release their albums. So Forgone by In Flames is a masterpiece. I love it. I can listen to that one over and over again. And now I'm really happy that we can talk about it finally.
Yes. We are recording today on February 22nd. So you will be hearing this a little bit in the future. And the album has been out for less than 2 weeks. And did it make it to the top of the German charts?
Yes, it made it to number one.
Oh, yeah.
It was close because another band that is really famous in Germany released an album also on the 10th of February. And yeah, the last listeners on the streaming platforms, I don't know, made it possible for In Flames to be on, yeah, number one of the German album charts. Congratulations.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome. And it is a really awesome album. I haven't been a fan of In Flames for too long, I must admit. But I really, really like it. And I've also been playing it a lot, not only because I knew I had to talk about it here today, but also because it's fun. It's catchy. Yeah. And I must say, my most important thought about the album is that although it's very, the melodies are very catchy and I find myself singing the choruses over and over again, the lyrics are actually very deep too.
Mm-hmm.
It's dark, but it's dark and strong. And that's actually a good thing. I do like to pay attention to the lyrics and to the themes of the music in general. And this was one of the few times that has happened to me that I find myself singing it first and then thinking about it and thinking, damn, I can relate. And this is so, so fitting to the moment in time that we are all living.
Mm. The background is that the singer Anders Frieden was disappointed of what happened during the pandemic. So in Sweden, they had not so strict, the government was not so strict with what they had to do with the lockdowns and stuff like that. So from the German point of view, they were really low on restrictions and were allowed to do a lot of things that we in Germany were not allowed to. But anyways, they also locked down later again because they had a lot of people in the hospital and all the stuff that all the other countries, of course, also were going through because of COVID-19. And Anders Frieden in the beginning thought, oh, wow, this is a very special moment in time because I experienced something that everybody else in the world is experiencing. And maybe this brings us closer together. And to be honest, that's also what I thought in the first moment, because I was there like, oh, wow, this is happening everywhere. It's not like we're shut down here in my city, not in my country, not in Europe. It's all over the world. And we go through this together and the whole world comes to stop out of a sudden. What happened during the pandemic, what I also can relate to is that he said the people went far away from each other. So the longer they stayed inside with their own thoughts and not having this connection to other people or only to very few people, there was, I'd say, hate growing towards people that are different from yourself. People thought about their own opinions more like facts. That also what he said in several interviews, that opinions are not facts, but people act like that even more since the pandemic.
That's a very good point.
Yeah, and that's something that, of course, he is disappointed about because he thought, okay, that might be a chance for us, for
Yes.
For humankind. And what I found very interesting is that in the 90s, they released the album Horacle, and Horacle is a concept album about something that happens to humankind that divides them, brings them together again, that they have to go through together.
Okay.
And it's a dystopia. And I thought, okay, well, if you look at that album from our point of view now, it might be the pandemic that was there in this concept, or that could be the event that happened there, because it was also an event that people were able to watch in TV. And that's also what mm-hmm. we did. I don't think I watched as much TV as I watched in the pandemic to get all the news and stuff like that about what's going on. So yeah, I found that very interesting that they already thought about these things many, many years ago.
Yeah, because that's totally right. I mean, scientists also said when the pandemic broke out as well that it's not completely out of the blue. This is something we actually kind of saw coming. We just chose to ignore it mm-hmm. the same way we are ignoring global warming and how we are destroying the planet. I can just say I can totally relate. I also had a lot more hopes on with the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And hopes is a funny thing to say, because the moment that lockdown started, and we've talked about this a few times, I didn't go out of my house for 3 months. I was scared to death. I had a lot of anxiety. I lost weight because of all the anxiety and things that I was emotionally going through. And this deeply rooted fear caused all those reactions that you were also describing right now, the aversion and rejection towards people that didn't want to be careful later on, who didn't want to be vaccinated. I was very judgmental, and it was out of fear, out of wanting to protect myself, because mm-hmm. I really thought the virus might kill me. By now I've had it twice, and now I know it won't, but you know, back then I didn't. Also, I've been vaccinated more than once. And anyway, what I wanted to say is that I also had a lot of hope that this would be the apocalypse that would break down all those structures of oppression that we are seeing in the world, that we have seen in the world for so long. I thought it was the opportunity to burn down capitalism and make a more just and equal society for everybody. But of course, because of capitalism, the people in power did not indeed suffer as much as the people who are marginalized and poor and tend to be forgotten about. And that is why things haven't changed. So in the end, even though it felt like we were all going through this equally and together, and at the same time, and could see each other, like you were saying, we could just, you know, watch videos of people on the other side of the world and how they are suffering in lockdown. But it wasn't. It wasn't really. It didn't affect us equally.
Yeah. I remember that some people said, well, I can deal with the lockdown in a very good way because I like being at home and stuff like that. And I was like, yeah, but you're living in a house with several rooms. You mm-hmm. have, I don't know, 8 rooms for 4 people. And there are people who have 2 rooms or 3 rooms for 5 people, because the children share a room. The parents have a room for sleeping and then they might have a living room and that's it. And they are affected a lot more when they are not allowed to go outside.
Exactly. I'm also thinking about people in situation of migration, you know, who don't have yet their legal documents and permits and stuff. And they sometimes, you know, share a bedroom, a bed even, mm-hmm. because they work in shifts and take shifts to sleep as well. Or yeah. people in poor countries who just, like mine as well, like Ecuador, if they don't go out of the house to work every freaking day, they just don't survive because they don't have any income, any passive income or any regular income that will secure their nutrition, their food, their just survival. Mm-hmm. So I can totally agree and relate with the thought of the pandemic was actually an opportunity of change, of immense change that the world just rejected and keeps rejecting because we're going back to the usual stuff a lot now. And we still cannot say, I think we have to be very careful. The pandemic is not over. We cannot talk in the past about it. It's still mm-hmm. around. I just had a flu last week and I tested myself. And, you know, like we are still doing that kind of thing. There are a lot of people suffering from long COVID. There are a lot of people with disabilities suffering from very, very bad symptoms still. And we cannot ignore that fact and just be reckless and just mm-hmm. go back to our old normal. We shouldn't be forcing employees to come back to the office full time. Like, what the fuck? I really can't.
Yeah.
Me off. But going back to the album.
Yeah, another topic of Forgone is the topic of time. And that's also a relation, at least for me, to the pandemic, because when we were in lockdown, I had plenty of time that I didn't have before. And that made me see that time is, of course, a metric that everyone in the world follows, can stick to, kind of. And also very personal, because if I don't have so much work to do, then I have more time for myself. Or if I don't have to travel to work every day, which takes me 1 hour one way. So if I don't have to do that, that gives me a lot more free time. And yeah, time is very, very subjective also.
True.
So I found that very interesting to use this as a topic for the whole album. And also on the cover artwork, there you see the jester hat, the icon of the band.
Oh.
With clocks in his hand. It looks really cool. I like the artwork a lot.
Claws, yeah. Ooh, I hadn't paid attention to it, to be honest. It is really nice. I like the colors and the style, but now that I see the five people on those stairs and all of the tiny little details, it's really nice. You have also the information because you had an interview with the singer of In Flames for the other podcast, your other podcast, Pommes Gabel, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right. I have this, one of the lines, one of the lyrics, and I don't ask me which song because I've had the album on repeat and I know that I like the songs. I have my favorites too, but I don't exactly, I didn't look always what song exactly is playing. But there's this line that really stuck with me as well that says, "This is a war. And no mm-hmm. one will win it."
Yeah.
And
in the dark, is it, I think.
Also, at this very specific moment, today is February 22nd. In 2 days, it's going to be the anniversary, which is not a celebration, but it's going to be 1 year since the Russian invasion in Ukraine. And this state of war in Europe has lasted for a whole year. And it's just so sad and so true that there are never winners in a war. There are always people who are suffering and people who lose their lives. So everybody loses. And also the fact that it's been a whole year and we were so scared in the beginning. We also had a conversation on the podcast about that.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, we kind of got used to it. And it's so scary that we can get used to all of these things that start mm-hmm. super, that instill the deepest fears in us in the beginning, because they are awful, awful things that are happening in the world. But we just get used to it. And the war has also been in the media a lot. And we've been able to see so many gruesome, cruel, awful things. And for it to last so long and for us to get used to it, it's just so sad and tragic. And I don't know if that line was specifically about that, but it just hit hard because of it, because of what we are living in the world right now.
Yeah, that's true. And also, there is a music video for Forgone Part 1 that is made by a Ukrainian artist. And I also thought there might be kind of hidden message, but I also asked the singer and it is not. So I don't know if the lyrics that you were just quoting, I think it's from the song In the Dark, are about the war, but it totally fits. I had the same thought. So yeah, it's a bit like after the, or still in the pandemic, but after the peak of the pandemic that we just go back to normal. But the war is always something that I have in mind, no matter what I do. I'm thinking about, okay, how will this turn out? How will this go on? How will this affect me in the future? So yeah, music is also something that can help think about something else. But still, if somebody speaks about war in the lyrics, we immediately come back to these thoughts.
I found it a very strong stance, though, because, and I'm so sorry, I'm having breakfast right now. It's a powerful statement to say that this is a war, no one will win it. And the way he sings that, too, it has this, or I feel it and I interpret it as this attitude of rejection as well, or maybe distancing. In that lyric, to me, he's making this statement of, first of all, how stupid are we that we think we can still solve problems with war. Mm-hmm. And also, like, it's kind of a duh. Of course no one is winning this. And saying something like, why are we still doing this? And this is taking us nowhere. So it packs such a, to me at least, such a huge message that is also kind of positive, while saying that this is just not a good thing that we're doing, right? It's kind of a positive, optimistic, hopeful, I don't know, but it's kind of a like a cool message, even though it's such a dark, sad subject.
I think In Flames have always been vocal about things without being a political band in total. So they always, took these topics in their lyrics. And I think that's a very cool way also to address people who are not so deeply into politics, because it might be a first step to think things over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You said in the beginning that you haven't been a big fan of In Flames at all. I have been a big fan of In Flames, especially in the late 0 years. How can you say that? About odds. In around
the late aughts. Mm-hmm.
The late aughts. 2008 to 2012, I'd say. People say that you can divide the career, the discography of In Flames into three parts. The first one is the death metal part, so the beginning where they were mixing up the harsh death metal vocals with melodic metal, like Iron Maiden, for example, did. And that's also kind of the birth of melodic death metal. So they count as founders of Melodeth. And yeah, that's the first phase.
That explains a lot.
Yeah. Then they became even more melodic. That would be the second phase. And that's when I got to know them, and where the albums were released that I listened a lot to, especially Come Clarity. That's my favorite album of the band. And then they became more alternative. So I'd say that Sounds of a Playground Fading was the first step into metalcore, and then they got even softer. And the singer Anders Frieden also has a project that's called If Anything Suspicious, where he's not even singing, he's just producing. The album, it's all made by the stuff he has in the studio, I think. Yeah, that explains a lot. That is also a passion of his, that he likes alternative music a lot. And this album, for me, it sums up the whole In Flames discography, because you have really harsh songs on Foregone, and there are also these melodic parts, plus in some songs, for example, Bleeding Out or A Dialogue in B Flat Minor, they sound very alternative to me. Some people might say they don't fit on the album, but yeah, that's that phase of the band. And so,
way of calling me out. Yeah, no, to the people who cannot look at us. Nobody can look at us. But but Pia was laughing because I was gesturing. You called me out totally. Those are my favorite songs on the album.
So you should definitely listen to Battles and I the Mask. That's the two albums that came out before.
Those are the albums one. I am a fan of. Even Sounds of a Player Unfading, I've listened to that one a little bit more as well. Siren Charms, not so much, but the last three, those are, that's my In Flames phase.
Mm-hmm. And this is album number 14, so.
Yeah, I was going to say. And also, this album marks the start of their fourth decade. Damn.
And also, maybe the fourth phase. This is something new, I would say, because they combine everything they did in the past to a very powerful new release. They also have a new guitar player. Chris Broderick has been there as a live guitar player since 2019, and now he's also a member of the band. And he was not involved in the writing process and composing of the album. That was Anders Frieden and the other guitar player, Björn Gelotte. But he, of course, played one of the guitars and might have put one or another solo here. So you can, of course, hear that he is around now, and he also leaves a mark on the In Flames sound. But the album still has the trademarks of In Flames, especially, of course, the vocals, because Anders Frieden is a singer that you will identify in a thousand of voices.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm.
But also the guitar style that Björn Gelotte is playing, that is very typical for In Flames, and you can also easily identify that. There have been some songs that have been released as singles before, like State of Slow Decay or The Foregone Part 1 and 2 and The Great Deceiver, and I loved all of them. So in the middle of 2022, The Halo Effect released an album, and they there are many members that have been members of In Flames as well, plus Michael Stanner, who is the vocalist on the very first In Flames album, but only as a studio member, a session vocalist, so to speak. And they formed The Halo Effect, and I was totally in love with what they did. And then In Flames came with the singles that I was just mentioning, and I was like, wow, this takes me back into melodic death metal full force. So I really loved that. Yeah. And shortly before they released the album, they also released the single Meet Your Maker, and that's my favorite on the album, especially because I like the guitar riffs so much. They have one in the first strophe where they use the theme of the chorus. Mm-hmm. In the guitar as well. And I'm like, wow, now it starts. And then, no, it stops. It doesn't start yet. And then whenever the chorus starts, I'm like, wow, I love this guitar. I love it so much. And that is in many of the songs that I enjoy listening to the guitar a lot. Fun fact, when you listen to the opener, The Beginning of All Things, you have a very calm melody. I think they use that again in the song In the Dark. No, in Pure Light of Mind, they redo, or they continue with this very calm melody. And mm-hmm. I think it's, or it would at least fit as a successor of the last song of the previous album, the melody in Stay With Me, that reminds me a lot of the opener of Foregone.
Ooh, I gotta listen to those back to back.
Yeah, do that. Then they have the song Cynosure, and that they have a special sound in here that reminds me a lot of Black Sabbath. I think it's funny that they also sing about being paranoid in this song, because, yeah, that reminded me of that sound a lot. And speaking about songs, A Dialogue in B-flat Minor, how cool is that song title?
Right? I love it so much. I also can relate a lot to the line. I was just looking for which song has that line in it, because that, I don't know, that was also one that I could identify with a lot, that hit me right in the heart. The line, there's a ghost in my head I fight, yeah, every day. It's just so, yes.
It's so me.
You're speaking to my mental illness, and my mental illness is saying, me, that's me. I feel seen. That is, it's so nice to, yeah, to connect with songs like that, even if they didn't mean it, like I am interpreting it right now. It's just, it hits different.
Yeah.
It is a very great song title, and the concept, as a general thing, it's just really fun even to see it like that, to see it's not you, it's not your fault. Your brain is a bit broken. But it's okay.
It's you're not alone.
You're going to be fine. Yeah, that's it, exactly. No, and also to have all those things be an inspiration to such beautiful music.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There was a song on the previous album that was called Burn. And when I listened to that one, I thought, wow, that's way too soft if your band is called In Flames and you release a song that's called Burn. And then I listened to, I think it was The Great Deceiver. And I thought, well, that was what I expected when listening to Burn. So yeah, they are back in the melodic death metal. They kind of came back to their roots. And I really like that. And I hope they get a lot of fans back that were like, oh, I don't like that alternative stuff. But yeah, now they found a way to combine all these things and create something new. And I love that. Every yes. single song, I'm like, yeah. It's
yes,
really cool.
Totally. Even the intro song, the beginning of All Things That Will End, is it's like the calm before the storm. It's so nice.
Yeah.
The Closer track as well, and The Transmission. It's so catchy. It's really cool. I would dance to it almost. I really like
it. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. To be honest, I also didn't like that alternative phase much. And I stopped paying attention to In Flames. And I was always looking for a band that could hit me like In Flames did and kind of fill the gap. And the funny thing is that now In Flames themselves do that.
That's amazing.
Yes. So, yeah, as I said in the beginning, it might be my album of the year. It's amazing. I can listen to that over and over again without being bored. And I always find something new that catches my attention. Mm-hmm. And also the music videos are really cool. So we have this, the song, the title track with part one and part two. And part one is a visualizer. And in part two, you can see people watching the music video of number one. So that's the great connection of these two, because the sound is very different, or it doesn't sound like part two is a follow-up and takes a theme of the first part and stuff like that. So
I think they are
more connected through the lyrics, through the topic. And that's a really, really cool idea, I think. And also the other music videos are fun to watch.
I haven't watched any. We should bring back Heavy Fridays on my Twitch channel.
Yeah, that's true. Let's do that.
So your favorites are?
Meteor Maker is on top of everything. That's also a song that for me sums up the album very good. But also State of Slow Decay or The Great Deceiver, or to go a little bit away from this signature sound of the Face that I love so much. Also Pure Light of Mind is a very refreshing song for me, because I, as I said, didn't listen that much to Battles or Either Mask or Siren Charms.
I see. Cool, cool, cool. For me, as I said, Bleeding Out and A Dialogue in B Flat Minor, and The Transmission as well. So I don't know, the second half. It's usually the other way around, I find. Albums start really strong. Then let's say track 3 and 5 are the singles, and so they're great. And like the second half is boring, but this one is not. Mm-hmm. The second half still has a lot of surprise, a lot of punch, and a lot of, as I said, catchy dancey tunes.
That's also something that makes this album so special, that you have this different styles that you don't have the impression you listen to one big song that is divided into parts. You really know that you are listening to another song right now.
Yeah.
To another great song, because all of them are really cool.
Also, please never tell In Flames I call them dancey.
But I think they will be fine with that.
If I ever get to meet them, I want to make a good impression, okay?
Okay, perfect. That's it.
That's right? To quote the album, I would say we got to end the transmission. Nothing makes sense and no one's listening.
Okay, bye.
Bye.